As interesting from a South African perspective, it's what's going on in rugby. It's a warm welcome to Zelt Marais. He is the former chairman of the Western Province Rugby Union. Zelt, lovely having you on the program. I know that you've been fighting the system and you've paid pretty heavily for it, but at last it seems as though what you've been exposing is getting a wider audience. I see yesterday on News 24, they said, maybe you've been right all along. Been right about what? Tell us what you've been right about.
Alec, good morning to you, and thank you very much for allowing me. And of course, good morning to the listeners, everything here. Yeah, just one correction, not the former chairperson. The chairperson is on the board of directors of Western Rugby, whereas I'm the president of Western Province Rugby that oversees the clubs and the schools, which is ultimately the shareholder of the professional arm, the ultimate shareholder. But of course, the board and things, they will run professional rugby. And you would probably look back to all the noise and things was regarding the professional rugby and thing and how self-made missed a professional rugby. And I'm not in charge of professional rugby. But that is a smearing thing. And just to add on yesterday, News 24, I don't know if you read the deputy editor of Business Day's introduction yesterday also. I mean, he's making quite an alarming thing. And I maybe just want to read it as eager because I think everything emanated from the Sunday Times into the Business Day and then flowed into News 24. But News 24 under Adrian Basson, he was the one that dig very deep for a number of years already, going back to 2015 already, even before that. So we need to give credit and thanks to Adrian for doing excellent investigative work in there. But let me just read to what the deputy editor, Setso Mosening, wrote in his just introduction. This is quite a long one. So he writes, in an expose that sent ripples through the sports world, this newspaper revealed details of a 75 million rand, 1.3 billion rand deal between the SA Rugby Union and the US private equity outfit. On paper, the deal, which hands Achilles Sports Group ASG a 20% stake, might seem like a savvy move to bolster the coffers. But in reality, it is a deal so flawed that literally almost no one could miss the pitfalls. For starters, the valuation of the Springboks commercial rights is at $375 million, 6.6 billion rand, is a glaring underestimation when compared with the All Blacks, whose commercial rights were valued at a staggering $2.1 billion by Silver Lake. South's deal looks like a fire sale. The Springboks, with their storied history and global fan base, deserve a valuation that reflects their true value. This deal, however, suggests Saro is selling itself short and by a wide margin. So that is very damning coming in the Business Day of yesterday in itself.
Zelt, you're getting a lot of support there, and well done to the Business Day and to Adrian Basson for digging around and supporting you, because it does appear as though there's quite a disconnect there when you compare South African rugby's value or the Springboks' value to the All Blacks' value. But now the public knows about it. Where are we in the process? Is that deal going to be stopped?
If we look in terms of what seven of the franchises, they wrote to SARU last week, as you could see, actually. And SA Rugby actually was so arrogant in reproach, where Rian Ober also said, no, the meeting will proceed. And it took the Minister of Sport to intervene. Now, I mean, I'm quite concerned when the unions effectively being the owners of, they are the shareholders, where the people that are being employed don't even listen to the shareholder. And that is a big concern in the thing. And we don't know how we deal with these kind of matters. And of course, the people running probably rugby, I mean, currently, especially the functionaries, they are great questionable posts that they've got in terms of it. And yet they are allowed to manage public funds in terms of it. And that is a big concern. I mean, even the former CEO of SARU, Yuri Roo, he's still in charge of Rugby Africa, Alec, if you don't know that in terms of it. he's eating. I mean, and as a consultant behind the thing, I mean, it's just, how can you allow somebody that, and this is what I questioned. We questioned back in the end of 2021, early 2022. And I was charged for that personally, for spreading misinformation and false. And even even last week, Sarul slapped a 10-year ban on me. They wanted a life ban on me, saying I'm spreading misinformation. So, yeah. A 10-year ban me that I can't be involved in rugby for 10 years. For not taking a single cent from the organization, just making the way the clubs who are the owners again of Western Province Rugby. Now, if we even compare the deal of the Western Province equity sale compared to SARU, now the Western Province professional arm was sold off for negative 120 million rand. Not even for a rand, negative 120 million rand. And that compared to what is coming out now in the SARU, because it's the same players who did the deals together. We need to dig a closer dig onto, and we need some of the experts to dig actually, because what we're dealing with here, we are actually robbing our community clubs from where they need the money in order to develop the sport. Because without the community structures, we are going to battle for years to come, because if we're going to destroy this base, then we are doomed for life. We're looking great on the field now, but once we start breaking down that foundation of us, I mean, it's going to be very bleak for us, Arnold. And we need to do something and to say, guys, enough is enough.
Zolt, I spoke last week with Warren Wheatley. He's got an interesting business called Altvest, which is bringing private equity to the public. And Warren said, but hang on, why don't you offer shares to fans, to players? And he said that they'd already approached South African Rugby with this. The players had actually approached, former players had approached South African Rugby, and they were shown the door. So is that the kind of thing that one needs to be looking at? Because it does appear with all the media coverage that is coming out now that that deal seems dead in the water, and those who've been controlling or running things are certainly going to be held to account more.
And I think it's very interesting you bring up this again, because more than 10 years ago, I actually made a similar proposal. That time I was probably thinking I was the vice president of Western Pro Rugby, but also chairing the union's finance committee at the time. And we wanted to bring a similar project in. And I said, Rob, can we look into that? And as a CEO, I mean, Rob just shut the door on this thing on us. And we could have been flying by now in terms of Fritzy.
Who's Rob?
Rob Wagner was the former CEO of Western Province Professional Rugby. And he's also currently still working in SA Rugby, also still as some consultant.
All right. So where do you want to see things happening? You've now got this 10-year ban. Thankfully, they can't stop you from talking to me or to the media. What do you see is the most logical process here?
On the ban itself, I mean, we can't leave the ban there, because the ban in itself is unlawful, it's unconstitutional. There's no grounds or reason for it actually, because what I'm doing as a president, I'm protecting the interests of our clubs. And as the elected president, I have a duty to do that, because otherwise I'll be failing in my fiduciary duty not to stand up for the clubs in terms of, and as being a public, well, especially, remember, when you deal with public funds, it's not just a matter of care, it's a matter of extra care that you have to impart on here. And somehow, people don't understand that. They think it's the private assets they're dealing with. It's not the private assets. And this is what we need to get through to our fellow people. When you get appointed and to serve, actually, you're going to have to do extra care. And the fact that there is so little transparency in transactions going through and things getting rushed through. And even the fact that when clubs and probably wanted to speak to me, they threatened the club also with suspension and banning. And it's becoming like it's worse than the apartheid years that we experienced, the draconian life. It's worrying. And we need our government to intervene here, because we can't carry on like this. It's just.
But so my question then would be answered in your last sentence. You need government intervention. You need Gate and McKenzie to bash a few heads together. Is there any chance of having a government of sports unity, perhaps, where you guys can sit around a table and talk to each other, or has there just been too much bad blood?
No. Alec, I think we need to have that discussion very soon, basically, in Port. I've been open to discussing with everybody, and I'm not allowed to I've reached out even to Yuri Ru last year, and he said he needs permission from the year before. He said he need permission from the executive committee to speak to me. And then apparently they refused to give him permission to speak to me.
Who's they? Who's on that committee? What people?
The EXCO, the executive committee. So your executive committee comprises of Mark Alexander, Francois Davis. You've got Jenny Bartman. You've got so those are the elected officials. Then you have independent directors also sitting on there, but they get elected or appointed by SARO's executive committee. They are not appointed or elected like we would have in a normal corporate structure by the shareholders. And that is where the disconnect comes in, basically, in terms of it. So even that EXCO got the power to remove their fellow EXCO, whereas, I mean, Asylum technically is like a private company. So the shareholders should have the power to appoint and to remove whoever they feel actually. So the shareholders is basically almost like they just a lame duck. They got no influence actually, because now you've got the top structure calling all the shots all the time. And they hide behind the phrase of confidentiality. So the shareholder who owns the asset is not getting any information about it, but they are expected to make a decision and vote upon matters, which for me to sound bizarre, completely bizarre.
Zalt Maree, the former or current president, depending on who you want to believe, of Western Province Rugby, and he's articulated all of that for us.